Okay, good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Welcome back to our weekly Pirkei Avos class learning. Let's get right into our learning tonight. We have a special Pirkei Avos share. It's going to combine or connect, weave together Pirkei Avos, Parsha, and Sipur Yetziyah Mitzrayim all together. So I'm going to thank tonight's sponsors. First of all, I thank Shoshana Pollack on behalf of all of us for sponsoring tonight's shiur. She is dedicating this shiur with Shavach and Oda gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the latest addition to their family, Baruch Hashem, Shana Feiga, as well as a shmir for all of Klal Yisrael, the release immediately of the hostages, and shalom for Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Amen v'amen to all. We extend our thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of you and your family for Shana Feiga, as well as Shalom Ba'aretz and Simchas Olam Liyoshveha. The other sponsor is Susie Fonfeder. Both of our sponsors tonight have sponsored repeatedly, and we thank them very much. They have done so in the past, and they continue to do so. Susie Fonfeder sponsors, and she is sponsoring L'Zecher Nishmas, her father, Alav HaShalom, Yehuda Ben Moshe, Alav HaShalom. He was Nifter on 2 Nisan 30 years ago, 30th year site. He was in Munka Tabor, which was a labor camp in the time of the war. He saved his fellow Jews from being hurt to the best of his ability. He was unafraid and he was very strong. He loved people and he was always glad to help everybody. He had a heart of gold. His first wife and a baby girl who he never saw, Rachmana Litzlan, were murdered in Auschwitz, Hashem Yinkom Damam. He didn't talk much about his first family. And Susie wrote, my parents left Hungary in 1956 in order for us to stay from Yidden. The Hungarians started to tell the Jews what they could and what they could not do, where they had to go to school, where they could not go to school. They started to tell us to write on Shabbos. We left Hungary very quickly. We were the first to arrive in army jets to America. My parents started over. We were registered in Jewish schools, Beis Yaakov, my brother in Salem. The only thing my father wanted is we should be Erlich HaYidden. And Hashemah should have Aliyah, all of his descendants should continue in his footsteps, and the shir should be his chos for Aliyah and Hashemah for Yehuda ben Moshe, Zichrona Levracha, Nifter 2 Nisan, on the occasion of his 30th Yahrzeit. Amen v'amen. Let us get right into our learning. So we are going to begin, like I said, we're going to be weaving together Pirkei Avos, Parshas HaShavua, Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing. Here we go. Okay, so you should say it says Mishnah Avos 1. Yeah, and I see my Melanie joining us. Ima, welcome. Brucha Hava'a. Thank you for coming to share. Here we go. You're probably cooking in the kitchen for Shabbos because they're coming for Shabbos, right? Are you cooking for Shabbos? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, here we go. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Perek Alf, Mishnah Tesvav, Shammai Omer, Shammai says. Oh, so we've been talking about this Mishnah. Actually, it just dawned on me as I'm saying it. You know, obviously I prepared it before because you see it's on the screen. We've been talking about Hevi Mikabas, Galdam, Asever, Panam, Yafos. We spoke about that a little bit. Now we're going to be speaking about something else. Shammai Amar, Aseso Rascha Keva. Shammai says you should make your Torah learning permanent. There has to be a kvius to Torah. You can't be wishy-washy. If you have a certain set time when you learn Torah, then that is paramount, barring unforeseen emergency circumstances. There has to be a set time for Torah learning. Because if you let that go, if you let your Seder go, it's going to start to slide in your Avodas Hashem. Asay so ascha keva, kevius to Torah. And more ma'at, va'asei harbe. And that is what we're going to be speaking about tonight, which is the quality of speech. And more ma'at, speak little. The key is not to speak a lot. Rather, va'asei harbe. The key is to do much. You don't need to talk grandiose speech about how much you're going to do. Rather, I'll say, Rabbi, diminish your speech. And greet every person with a pleasant countenance. Now, two Mishnayos later, we have a teaching from Shimon, the son of Rabban Gamliel. Shimon, the son of Rabban Gamliel, says, so we see from both of these teachings, one from Shammai and one from Shimon ben Gamliel, that we see that there is an important quality and an important midah and a vital maila of measuring your words. Shammai says, Emar ma'at. You don't need to be speaking all the time. Shimon ben Gamliel says, I grew up all my days amongst the sages. You know what I found is the best thing for the body? A person who knows how to hold his tongue. I didn't find anything better for the body than silence. Well, learning is not the main point, rather doing. And whoever increases words brings sin. So clearly, Chazal are very focused in these two teachings, three teachings actually, on the importance of measuring your words. Shamai amor ma'at. Speak little. Va'asei harbe and do much. Shimon ben Gamliel, the best thing I found for the body is silence. V'chomar b'dvar mevichei. The more you talk, the more prone you are to sin. Whether it's late sanus of fellow Jews, or lashon hara of fellow Jews, or nivol peh, or, I don't know, motzi shemra, or rechidas, or ka'as, or gaiva, the machlokas, different machlokas, the more we speak, the more we're prone to sin. So the sages caution us. The path that a person should take is to speak little and do much. Save the body with the goodness of speech. The more you speak, the more you come to sin. This ties very, very much into this week's parsha. This week's parsha is Parshas Tazria. And in Parshas Tazria, after Isha Ki Tazria V'yaldos Achar, after the first eight psukim, we meet the Mitzora. So what and who is the Mitzora? So Tzaras is a word that I cannot translate, and I always say Tzaras is a word that can't be translated. Tzaras is a spiritual affliction with a physical manifestation. That's the definition of Tzaras, a spiritual illness with a physical manifestation. The person is spiritually sick, and it physically manifests. It might be on the walls of his home, it might be on his garments, it might be on his very own self. The Gemara in Erechin Tazayin Amar Aleph tells us the causes of tzaras, what leads to tzaras, what sins cause tzaras. So for example, shvua shav, taking an oath for no reason, an oath that you don't fulfill, an oath in vain. Speaking lashon hara, shvichus damim, gilya rayos, gezel, stealing, gasus haruach, tzarus ha'ayin. Those are the sins that lead to tzaras, and all of them in some way, and I don't want to get into it now just because of the time limits of the shiur, and that's not what I want to focus on, but all of those sins, actually, the seven sins we just listed, can in some way be understood to relating to sins of speech. The first that the Gemara writes there is that lashon hara leads to negat tzaras. Mipnei shiva dvarim negaim bain, says the Gemara, because of seven sins, negat tzaras, the affliction of tzaras comes. Lashon hara has to do with speech. Shvua shav has to do with the power of speech. Tzarus ayin, if you see everyone with a stingy eye, of course you're going to speak negative. You're going to have nothing nice to say, because the whole world is bad to you. You're looking at it with a stingy eye. If you have gasus aruah, a haughty spirit, of course you're not going to speak nicely of others. You're always right. Everyone else is always wrong. And you're a conceited, arrogant spirit, so you have nothing nice to say about a person. These sins lead to tzaras, including gazal, so the psukim tell us, and now we're in Parshas Tazri. I said we are going to weave together Pirkei Avos, Parshas HaShavua, and Leil Pesach, Leil Seder. Ish tzarua hu tamei. So the Kohen comes and the Kohen declares that he taka has tzaras. It's not a burn. It's not an old wound. No, he has tzaras tamei hu. He is impure. Tamei yitam enu a Kohen. Barosh enigo, the Kohen shall declare him impure. His affliction is on his head. What happens to the person who has tzaras? V'hat tzarua asher bo hanega b'godav yufrumim v'roshu yafarua v'al safam yate v'tamei tamei yikra. The person who has tzaras, he has the nega, he has the tear kriya. Begad of you frumim. Look at this. What does Rashi say? Kruim. You manage tears kriya. Verosh yefarua. Megudal se'ar. He's not allowed to take a haircut. He must grow his hair. Al safam yate. Ka'avel, Rashi says. Like a mourner, he has to cloak his lip. Ve'tami tami yikra. He calls out about himself. What is Ambal Safam Yate? I forgot to do this Rashi with you. So Rashi says right here, Sa'aras Hasfasayim, a mustache. So the person who has Tzaras, what does he have to do? He tears Kriya. He grows his hair. Rashi says clearly he's like an Aval, he's like a mourner. Who's he mourning for? He murdered three people, the Gemara says. He murdered himself. He murdered the person he spoke about, and he murdered the person he spoke to. Lashon hara kills three. The speaker, the listener, and the object of the speech. So there's something called metaphysical murder. And that is what a person can accomplish, Rachman al-Hassan, with poisonous, twisted lashon hara. And we see why the sages warn us. If a person's not talking, so you can't speak lashon hara. By the way, in Kuda, this would be posting and texting. But if you're not doing those modes of communication, so you're not going to be able to speak lashon hara. The more you talk, the more you're going to come to sin. The more words come out of your mouth, the more dangerous it is. Still waters run deep in English, Lahavdo, between that and Pirkei Avos, excuse me. A person has to know how to hold his tongue. A person cannot hold his tongue and ultimately speaks lashon hara and ultimately ends up with tzaras. He has to tear kriya. He grows his hair. He sits like a mourner and he grows a mustache. Sa'aras vasayim. The mida k'neged mida is very, very, mida k'neged mida, measure for measure, is very obvious. He did not close his mouth. You should have closed your mouth. You should have had the wisdom to keep your mouth shut. Excuse me. But yes, so now you're going to grow a mustache, which is indicative of like putting a gate over your lips. It's as if you are covering your mouth. You didn't know how to cover your mouth. Part of your embarrassment, self-embarrassment, is you're going to grow hair over your lips because you should show yourself, remind yourself, close your mouth. V'tami tami yikra. So what does Rashi say? We've done all the Rashis on this Pasuk. It's Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Hei in the book of Vayikra. Tami tami yikra. Mashmiyashu tami v'yifrishu mimenu. Whew. Most ultimate poetic justice. He stands outside of all three camps. No one wants to have anything to do with him. He can't be in the presence of God or Machane Levia or Machane Yeshua. Outside of all three camps. But anytime somebody passes by, what does he have to do? Tommy, Tommy, Yikra, Mashmiyashu, Tommy. He calls out about himself, I am Tommy, I am Tommy, V'yifrishu mimenu. Everyone will know to stay away from him. So the mouth that brought shame upon somebody else is now going to be used to bring shame upon his very own self. The Chavetz Chaim says in the Sefer Kunches Chovetz Hashmir in the Hakdama, Klal Hadvarim B'dibu Rav Sha'adam Yechol Livra Ulamot Ulahachariven. The summation of the matter is, with words we can build worlds, and with words we can create worlds, and with words we can destroy worlds. Now, some people take a tiny stibber on Yom Kippur. The reason they take a tiny stibber on Yom Kippur is for good reason. If you're not speaking, you're not going to be able to do avers with your speech. But the ma'isa, the reality is, the more we speak, the more we're prone to sin. I believe it was the Tana, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who said, it's either the Gemara or the Medrash, that if I was by Har Sinai, I would have asked Hashem to give us two mouths. One mouth for Kodesh, and one mouth for Chol. One mouth to speak about Divrei Torah, and to say Birkas Hamazon, and to recite brachas before I eat. And the other mouth for chol, what's on the supermarket list, what's for dinner, I'm going downstairs to switch loads of laundry, sweep the floor, one mouth for kodesh, one mouth for chol. But then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, when I realized how much trouble people get into with one mouth, I realized one mouth is more than enough. It's not a joke, it's Ma'amar Chazal. So no wonder the sages tell us, even Shammai says, Emor Ma'ah, well, you don't need to speak so much. Asay Herbe, you should be involved in actions of Avodas Hashem. But the speaking should be at a minimum. And look what happens to this mitzvah. Everything is measure for measure. You committed murder, so now you're going to tear kriya. You're going to grow your hair. You're going to grow a mustache. The symbolizing being should know when to cover your mouth. You're going to use your mouth to shame yourself. Call you me'asher negabo yutama. All the days the affliction is upon him, he is impure. Tamehu, he's impure. Badad Yeshev, if you remember, by the COVID pandemic, isolation in Israel was called Bidud. Badad Yeshev, he should dwell in isolation. Michutza Mechana Moshevel, outside of the camp is his dwelling. So Badad Yeshev, Rashi says, Shalo Yutmeim Yoshvim Imo. Imagine the other people who are Tameh, whether it's Tameh the Nefesh, or Tameh Zav and Zava, or the Tumas HaYoladas. There are different kinds of ways of Tumas Keri, of a man. There are different types of Tumah. When it comes to the Mitzorah, he sits all by himself. The other impure, the other Tmeim, are not allowed to sit with him even. Or I should say it differently. He's not allowed to sit with them. The Amir Rabba Seinu, Manishtana. I'm not making it up, you see it on the screen. That's Mamish Lashon of Rashi. This is going to be the point of departure to segue into the third part of Shir. We began in Pirkei Avos. We looked at two Mishnayos. Shammai tells us, Amar Ma'avaser, baby. You don't need to speak so much about what you're going to do. Just do it. Don't talk about it. Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Kol yamei gadalti v'nei chacham lo mitzatu guf tav al shtika v'chol mar b'dvar mevichei." We understand with good reason. We know from our own lives, the more we talk, the more trouble we're going to get into with our speech. Then we went to Parshas Tazria, Pesukim Yud Parak Yud Gimel, Pesukim Mem Dalad Mem Hey and Mem Vav, and we see that everything that happens to the mitzvah is poetic justice for the sins. We also quoted the Gemara in Erechin 16a, Tazayin Av, the sins that lead to the tzaras affliction. Why can't he sit with the other Tameim? Like maybe they should just, you know, they had COVID hotels, so maybe they should just have Tameh hotels and everybody who's Tameh should go dwell in the same hotel. Why do they have to dwell separately? What is up with this guy? What is the difference between him and other impure people that he is to sit in isolation? Why are there four comments or something? People can hear me, Baruch Hashem, so thank you. It must be the person who, I hope you could hear now, but other people are saying they can hear. So I'm going to assume that that means everyone's okay and can hear, I hope. Yes, you're saying yes. Okay, thank you. What is the difference between this guy and all the other impure that he is to sit in bidur? Isolation, solitary confinement. No one wants to do anything to do with him. Oh, he sees a passersby and he says, wait a minute, Tame Tame Yikra, he has an answer about himself. It's like holding up a big flashing neon sign, but it's even worse because his own mouth brings this embarrassment upon himself. Ho il vehu hivda b'lashonar ben ish lishto, uben ish l're'ehu afhu yibadal. What's the difference between him and all the other Tameim? Because he caused with his lashon hara a divide between man and wife and man and friend, of who he badel, he will be divided from society. He caused havdalah between parties because he does not know how to dwell in peace using peaceful speech. Of who he badel, he will be kicked out of the camp. Everything that happens to the Metzora is part of the consequence slash punishment, and in Parshas. This is Parshas Tezriah, Parshas Metzora, the beginning of Perek Yudal. The korbanos and the process he needs to go through are all a poetic justice, a measure for measure. B'midah she'adam modeh, modeh din lo. The way in which you measure others, that's how you will be measured. So you divided people from one another with your words. Your words, tame tame, will divide you from people. You didn't know how to keep your mouth shut. You're going to grow a mustache. You embarrass somebody else, late sanus. Ka'as, machlokas, gaiva, ona'as, dwarm with your words. Those same words are going to be used to embarrass you. Michutz ha'machana moshavo, he has to go outside of the camps. Which camps? Chutz l'shalosh machanos. Nobody wants anything to do with them. It can't be before the Shechina. You can't be amongst machanas levia, and you can't even be against machanas Yisrael. That is how abhorrent are the sins of speech. Okay? So we began Pirkei Avos. We called the Gemara an Erechin. Now we looked at the Parsha. It's very interesting to me, and perhaps not coincidental, because nothing's coincidental. It's just like, obviously, with Pesach on our minds. I mean, Rashi Mamash says, V'amu Rabbeinu, Ma Nishtana Mishar Tmeim L'Shei B'dad. So how do I want to use this for the point of departure into the next part of Shir, which is Lel HaSeder? If we were composing the Ma Nishtana, there's really many more than four questions, even though we have four kashas. There's really many more than four kashas that could be asked about Leil HaSeder. There's a lot of things that are different. But if we have to ask a kasha about Leil HaSeder, we could ask, Ma Nishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol HaLeilos? Why is this night different than all the other nights on the year? Shabachal halelos ein anu midabrim umisabrim harbe. On all other nights of the year, we are supposed to minimize our speech. We should not speak to an excessive amount. Aval halayla hazeh. But on this night, kulanu misabrim umidabrim. On this night, we all speak and we all tell. It's very different. All other nights of the year follow the dictum of Chazal. We're coming up to Parshas Kedoshim after Chag HaPasach. Parshas Kedoshim. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Yosham lakechem ish imu v'avi v'tiru v'eshav so say tishmaru. So how does Kedoshim begin? You shall be holy because I, the Lord God, am holy. And the Ramban says there, it's safer by Yikra Perik Yutas Pesach Bis. So the Ramban says, you should be, don't be a novel b'shus HaTorah. Don't be excessively disgusting and what is permitted by Torah. And the Ramban gives examples. You're allowed to eat meat, but how much meat does a Talmid Chacham need to eat? You're allowed to drink wine, but don't be a guzzler like the Ben Sora Amora. You're allowed to speak, but the Ramban says, how much does a person need to speak? Lo sach, rabbi siach, sich, lo sach, rabbi chia, sicha betel on. Rabbi chia never spoke wasted speech in his whole life. A person has to measure their words. On all the nights of the year, you eat matzah and maror. No. Chametz and matzah, tonight only matzah. On all the nights of the year, shar yirakos, tonight maror. On all of the nights of the year, we don't dip two times tonight. On all of the nights of the year, we lean or we sit up, tonight only leaning. On all of the nights of the year, manishtana. Rashi Mamash says that. You saw the Rashi. It's great. It's unbelievable. Manishtana. Leishay b'dad, mishar tvim. Manishtana. On all of the nights of the year, you should count your words. You should be measured. Don't speak too much. On this night of the year, what do we read in Avadim Hayinu, right after the Manishtana? So there isn't a fifth question, but the fifth question is directly answered. The fifth question that we are composing, on all the nights of the year, we should diminish our speech. On this night of the year, we should increase our speech. It's not posed as a fifth question, but immediately after the final manishtana kasha, shabachala leilus anu ochim b'neshun v'vesuvi, my hagadis here, okay? On all other nights, we eat sitting or reclining. Halayla zakul anu mesubim. And then what's the very next thing? Avadim mayinu lepar b'mitzrayim. Yotzina shama kamisham b'yachazak v'vizor atuya. We are slaves to fear in Egypt, and Hashem our God took us out with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. V'yilu lo hotzi akosh baruch hu savasein v'mitzrayim. Had God not taken our forefathers out of Egypt, hare anu uvenenu, uvenei v'nenu mesubim. Had God not taken us out, then us and our children and our children's children will be enslaved to fear in Egypt. And even if we were all wise and we were all discerning and we're all elders, meaning we've acquired a lot of Torah, we all know the Torah, mitzvah aleinu lisaper. Mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to talk. On all the nights of the year, it's a mitzvah to be quiet. Vayidom Aaron, control your mouth. Ezu giber, kovish is yitzo. Perigal, mishnah, off. I'm talking to myself. You don't need to say it. You said it one time, don't say it five times. You didn't say it one time, even better, don't say it one time. You have something not nice to say, what does Rav Avigdor Miller say? Go into the bathroom, flush the toilet, and tell Kosh Baruch Hu Kaviach, or someone on this chat, she emailed me, she says, her mother says, better just eat a piece of chocolate. Okay? Whether you want to flush the toilet, eat a piece of chocolate, just tell Kosh Baruch Hu, don't say it. On this night, speak. We're telling you the opposite of all the other nights of the year. Ma nishtana. What's the difference? Not only should you speak v'chol hamar belasaper b'yitzia mitzrayim, but more you speak about mitzias yitzrayim, harizim mishubach. And to illustrate this point, Ma'aseh Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, and Yeshua, Mesubim b'nei Brak, v'misaprim b'tzia mitzrayim kol so laya. Not only, so it really is the fifth kasha. But it's the answer without the question being stated. That's how Rashi learns Chumash. Sometimes Rashi asks their question, like we just saw. Usually Rashi doesn't always ask his question. He just gives you the answer. So here, the paragraph of Avadim Hayinu, a Maiseh, by the Tanaim in Bnei Brak, is answering the fifth kasha. The fifth kasha is, why in all of the nights of the year we signed, and this night we're speaking? The question is unstated, but the answer is provided. Because there is a mitzvah to tell by Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, and anyone who increases telling, it's more praiseworthy. Not only that, but we're going to tell you about five Tanaim who were sitting in Bnei Brak, and what were they doing? Misaprim by Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim kol oso alayna. They were so busy telling the story of Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, they could not stop speaking. Why is the experience of Sipur Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim so integral to Leil HaSeder? Like, why shouldn't it just be? Count your words. The Haggadah, by the way, is a Haggadah. The whole Haggadah, the whole book, it's not a Sefer. It's not a scroll. It's not a Megillah. It's a Haggadah. The Haggid, Babokra, Chastach, and Menascha, but it's La Haggid, it's the Tal. The whole Leil Seder revolves around speech. Magid, the main part of the Haggadah's telling, is called Magid, to tell. Haggadah, to tell. Mar Belisaper, the more you speak. Why is the telling of Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim so integral to our reliving the Exodus and our celebration of Leil Pasach? There are certain things that are the mark of a free man. One of them is time. We have spoken already this season and in past seasons that time is the mark of a free man. A slave does not own his time. And I don't want to get into that now because that will be the whole year. And tonight we're talking about a different aspect of freedom. One thing that marks freedom is time. That's why it's the first national mitzvah. There's something else that marks freedom. And on this night, we are all B'nai Chorin. And that's the Koach HaDibur, the power of speech. Many years ago, I heard Rabbi Zechariah Wallerstein Zatzal speak. I remember where I heard him speak. There's a venue in the Five Towns. I don't remember mamish anything from the whole shir. I don't remember the topic of the shir. But I remember one thing he said. He said, a slave can only say, he was talking about conquering the Yetzer Hara. It must have been. I know, I just said I remember what he was talking about. But I know it wasn't on Yetzer Mitzrayim. I believe that what he was talking about is that a person can overcome the base instincts, drives, and desires of the Yetzer Hara to elevate himself in Avodah Hashem. He said, a slave can only say one word, and that is yes. Yes, master. That's the only thing the slave can say. The slave can't say, I want to take a nap now. The slave can't say, I want to take a shower now. The slave can't say, I would like to have my lunch now. or the slave can say, I'm going to take a shower now. I'm going to have my lunch now. I'm going to take a nap now. The master says, I don't know, plow the field. The slave says, yes, master. The master says, warm my water for the bath. And the slave says, yes, master. The master says, lean over because I'm going to be with the whip. And what is the slave going to do? The only word a slave could say is yes. He does not have koach hadibur. So when it comes to the Yetzer Hara, how do we understand that? We need to tell the Yetzer Hara, no. We can't say everything yes to everything the Yetzer Hara tells us. We're going to be in very, very big trouble. If you say yes to everything the Yetzer Hara says, we're going to be mamash rishayim. We have to be able to find our words to free ourselves from the bondage of the Yetzer Hara. Now let's talk about that vis-a-vis Yetziat Mitzrayim. And I'm going to quote Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav, in 1 minute. Well, maybe not exactly 1 minute, but approximately 1 minute. The night of the Exodus is celebrated by speaking. Because for hundreds of years before that, we were in bondage. And not only were we physically enslaved, but the Koach HaDibur was also enslaved. The slave lacks meaningful speech, because who exactly is he going to speak to? And what is he going to speak about? His neighbor who's suffering, who has no interest in his own life because his son was just thrown into the river? Who's he going to speak to? The taskmaster standing over him? And what is he exactly going to talk about? Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, I'm quoting from the Seder Night, an exalted evening. The slave is deprived of the meaningfulness of speech. The slave lives in silence. If such a meaningless existence may even be called life. The slave has no message to deliver. Who should he talk to? How much should he tell? For your reference, if anyone wants to know, because sometimes people listen online and reach out to me where I'm quoting from, so I'm going to say now, Gadol Shel Pesach Tzeir, an exalted evening, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, page 37. The slave is deprived of the meaningfulness of speech. He lives in silence. If such a meaningless existence may even be called life, he has no message to deliver. Rachmana Litzlan, I don't know if you saw, but after the last hostage release back in November, seems like lifetimes ago, one of the things that was reported is that the hostage says they weren't allowed to talk. Remember the little Irish girl, Emily? I think she was 8. Yeah. So one thing her father said was that she was only talking in whispers. They don't give updates, so I have no idea where she's up to now. One of the things that was reported in the aftermath of her release, and even a few weeks later, is that she wasn't talking. Silence, whispers. We have a real life. Pachad example, Shamir Achim, a Gezeir from Shemaim, we see that a slave cannot speak. A slave is deprived of meaningful existence. A slave is deprived of speech, which endows existence with meaning. He has no message to deliver, says the Rav. In contrast with the slave, the free man bears a message. He has a good deal to tell. The free man is eager to convey his life story to anyone who will listen. No wonder the Torah emphasized the duty of the father, the liberated slave. In every generation, the father is the liberated slave. He is commanded to tell his children, who are born into freedom, the story of his liberation. Free man, who is eager to tell his story, is always surrounded by an audience willing to listen to his story. The slave has neither a story to tell, nor a curious audience to listen to the story. So now we understand, just like time marks freedom, and that's why Chodesh Nisan is the first month, and it was the first national mitzvah, because as we are about to go free, we take ownership of time. Our time no longer belongs to our master, now belongs to who? Belongs to us. Additionally, however, there's something else that now belongs to us, that comes along with freedom. And what is that? Speech. Whereas a slave can only say one word, said Rabbi Zachary Wallerstein, and that is, yes, master. A free man, says the Rav, sits down. He, one, has a story to tell, and two, he has an audience who is willing to listen. The slave lives in silence, if his meaningless existence can even be called life. No message to deliver, but the free man bears a message. He has a good deal to tell. He's eager to convey his life story to anyone who cares to listen. And now we understand that we're starting to understand why Leil Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is exactly called that. Leil Sipur, it's Yom Mitzrayim. Call a marvelous opera. So there's really no fifth question on the Manishtana, but there is. It's just an unstated question. The answer is given in the absence of the question. And it's tremendously gewaldic that Rashi hints this connection to us in his Perush to Parshas Tazria. Manishtana, Mishar Tmeim, Leishev Bedad. He's alluding. You know, it's very not so usual that Yashi uses the phrase Manishtana as commentary to Chumash. But that is a Rashi. Is a Rashi could be understood by the first grader and the Gadol Dor, and hopefully we're somewhere in between those two levels. Rashi's Perush is full of nuances and hitting the meanings. What is the Manishtan of the Mitzvah? It teaches us that on all the nights of the year we should be silent. The more you talk, the longer the conversation, the more you're going to speak negative. I'm not saying that. Chazal say it very clearly. So it's an absolute fact. You can't say, oh, it's not going to happen to me. No, we're going to argue with Chazal. No. Tarsha Bar Pa is also a Minishamayim. Chazal say, you talk too much, you're going to sin. You're going to start speaking gossip. You're going to start speaking slander. You're going to start speaking fun. You're going to talk negative about this group and negative about that group and bad about this person, bad about this one. No. Manishtana. Bechal halelos ein anu medabrim umesabrim harbei. Halayla hazeh, the question's not stated, but the answer is very clear. Hamar b'lisaper reza meshubach, ma'ise b'rabbi Eliezer. Oh, what were they doing? Mesaprim. And the Rav says, why is speech the mark of a free man combined with the thoughts of Rabbi Zechariah Wallerstein? Because all of a sudden, a slave is free. And a free person can speak. That's the mark of freedom. I thought it was so interesting. It's actually very, very interesting. We say it's Kapitel 81 of Tehillim. I actually prepared on the screen. Okay, I'll just show it to you because it'll only take me a second. I prepared on the screen to show it to you. Here we go. Yeah, you should see I'm in Tehillim right here. Tehillim 81, yeah. Pei Aleph. What does Pasuk Yud Aleph tell us? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hama'alcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Harchev Picha Va'amalehu. I am Hashem your God, who brought you up, who took you up from the land of Egypt. And now that I brought you up from the land of Egypt, what shall you do? Harchev, from the word widen, open, broaden. Harchev Picha, open your mouth, Va'amalehu, and I, Kosh Baruch Hu, will fill it. So only in regard to Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim, do we have a mitzvah to open our mouths wide? It is true that for the benefit of Ben Adam Chavero in general, you should count your words, think before you speak, don't be so quick to answer. However, in regard to Leil Sipur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim, you should harchav picha. When you open your mouth wide, Amaleyu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay us back boundless. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us our reward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay us back. Tova Mikupalas. Why? Because we are showing the mark of a free man. We are no longer slaves, and we have found the koach, a voice. I now want to quote a different source from the Rav. That was from the Haggadah of the Rav. This is from Chumash Masoras HaRav, Sefer Shmos. On Parshas Bo. Parshas Bo is one of the Parshas of Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim. I say it all the time. Someone emailed me today something. She said, you comment all the time. The first four Parshas of Sefer Shmos deal with the Shibud and Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim. Shmos, Ve'er, Bo, B'shach. You're right, I do. So Parshas Bo is what? The last three plagues. Arba, Choshech, Makas, B'choros, Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, Korban, Pasach, Chodesh, Zalachem. The Arba Bonim is also in Parshas Bo. Okay, three of the Arba Bonim in Parshas Bo. How does Parshas Bo begin? Chapter 10, verse 1. Vayom Hashem el Moshe. And Hashem said to Moshe, Bo el Paro, come to Pharaoh, because I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, so that I could place my wonders in his midst. Ah. Perek Yud Pasuk Beis of Sefer Shemos. You know why you should go to Pharaoh? You know the point of my wonders and miracles? Ulaman tisaper ba'oznei bincha uben bincha is asher hu salalti b'mitzrayim. The purpose of the Makos are not for Pharaoh. The purpose of the Makos are for you. In order that you shall tell, there's the word again, tesaper, sipur, misaprim, b'tziyah mitzrayim, kol oso aliyah, u'laman tesaper, ba'aznei bincha, u'ben bincha, et hasher es halalti mitzrayim. So that you should tell your children and your children's children that I made a mockery of Egypt and the signs that I placed in their midst, and you will know that I am Hashem. V'yedatem ki'n Hashem. It's very nice if Pharaoh knows from Dan Tzvodei ki'n Merav Dereshkin Bar Arba Choshem Mechav Tzchoros that I am Hashem. It's very nice if the Chartumei Paro say, Esba Elokim Hi. It's very enough if they say, Haterem Teiduk, you of the Mitzrayim, but you know what's even more important? That you shall tell your children that I am God. That's the purpose of the Makos. Sit down on Leil Seder and say, Kindalach, this is for us. It's not for the Egyptians. It's not for Hamas. It's not for the European Union. It's not for the UN. It's not for them to know this HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's for us to know this HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulaman tisaper ba'ozne bincha uben bincha eis asher esalati b'tzrayim ve'esos osai shosamti bam v'yidatem. You must know through this telling that I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you must teach your children. Our Joseph B'Salvechek speaks so beautifully here about the Shoresh Sin Pei Samech. Samech Perish. The word Sipur, story, as in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, the story of the Exodus from Egypt, is rooted in the verb Samech Perish, Saper, to recount. So listen carefully. Sipur is to tell the story. Lisaper is to recount. Sofer is a scribe, and Sefer is a book. The Rav is going to put all of these words together as related to Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. The word is also related to the noun Sofer, which is a scribe. The common etymological root of these words suggests that a story is transmitted orally as well as through the written word. The difference between an Igeras and a Sefer, he mentions Megillas Esther. The difference between an Igeras, a letter, and a Sefer, a book, is that an Igeras is written to less exacting standards than a Sefer. A letter connotes something that is not crafted with care. What do people usually do after you get a letter, an invitation, a thank you card? You read it, you say very nice, and what happens there? Usually it ends up, says the Rav, discarded. A Sefer, on the other hand, at least in Yahadus, is written on parchment. A Sefer is permanent. A Sefer contains no superfluous words or letters. Think of the ultimate Sefer, the Sefer Torah. It is never discarded. We mourn if Chas V'Shalom such a thing happens. It contains no superfluous words or letters. A Sofer writes the Sefer for succeeding generations. Why? Because it's meant to be timeless, forever. Chazal maintain at the twilight of the sixth day, the groundwork was established for some of the greatest biblical miracles. It quotes from Pirkei Avos, there are 10 miracles that were created Erev Shabbos Minish Masos. The Piha Be'er, the Piha Aretz, the Piha Ason, the Mata, the Kashas. It's in Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Mishlechas. Sorry, I didn't prepare on the screen for you, but I already look at the time. Baruch Hashem, for the time. We're free, so we can utilize our time, how we choose to use our time. So Chazal tells in Pirkei Avos, you might be familiar with the Mishnah, we just touched upon it, that there were amazing things, miraculous things created Erev Shabbos Benish Mashos. One of those things is that God created Haksav v'hamichtav. Tongs were also created. Av tzvas b'tzvas asur were also created at that time. Ksav v'hamichtav, what did Hashem create? The ability to write. That the seemingly prosaic writing skill, it's so ordinary, we're so used to it, it's so taken for granted. That the seemingly prosaic writing skill appears on this list of otherwise supernatural items. Could that compare to the Be'er? The Pi Ha'aretz, the Tzvon Korach, the Pi Ha'ason, the talking donkey, the Kashas, the Mon, that you could write? Ksav v'hamichtav? Suggests that there is something extraordinary in the ability to record an idea or event and to preserve it thousands of years into the future, which is what the point of the Sofer is, to preserve it. How do we have, the Torah Shabbat is only supposed to be oral, but Chazal saw they kept it oral, everyone forgets, so they wrote it down, they committed it to writing. And because they committed it to writing, we still have it today. The written word has the power to transcend generations. So what does this have to do with Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? This is Gevaldik. The written word allows us, says the Rav, to delve into man's thoughts, to identify with them. When we study Chumash, says the Rav, we are not merely learning of events that took place thousands of years ago. When you study the writing of Chumash, Ksav, the Hamichtav, of the Sefer Torah, through the skill of Ksav Hamichtav, we become contemporaries of the protagonist, says the Rav. I was a child in Cheder. I studied the parasha of Lech Lecha towards the beginning of the school year during the raw Polish fall, autumn. As I trudged through the muddy streets to school, I imagined that Abraham traveled to Canaan under similar circumstances. As a young boy, I lived through the drama of the Akedah, the tragedy of Sarah's death. My heart would pound. Perhaps Esau would return home early before Yitzchak completed the blessings to Yaakov. Today, we experience, says the Rav, what is properly referred to as a generation gap. Children sometimes find no meaning in their parents' experiences. They have difficulty identifying with people and events that took place only 20 years earlier. Yet the ability to transport us into the past and to span the generations is a sublime idea behind the Ksav v'hamichtav. We're learning the Chumash, the Sefer Torah, that the first Sofer, Moshe Rabbeinu, transcribed in the Sefer through the Sipur that he brought down from Sinai so many thousands of years ago. Through Ksav HaMichtav, one can relive events that happened many thousands of years ago. And the miracle of Ksav HaMichtav. Remember, this is one of the things that Pirkei Avos says is like miraculous. I understand if a donkey talks, it's pretty miraculous. I never encountered that in my life. And if a rock gives water for 40 years, that's a pretty big nes. But the fact that you could tell a story orally as a sofer, as a scribe through Ktav HaMichtav, that's such a big deal. Yes, because it allows us to transcend the generations. It allows us to go back in time to Egypt and then go forward in time to today's generation. It allows us to bridge the generation gap. It allows the spoken and written word of Lashon HaKodesh and the journey of Yahadus to become timeless. And that is the beauty of Leil Sipur, Yetziat Mitzrayim. The miracle of Ksav HaMichtav, says the Rav, is most evident on Seder night. A key directive in the Haggadah is B'chol Dor V'Dor Chayiv Adam Laharos Etz Atzmu Kilu Hu Yatza Mimitzrayim. How can we relive an event, says the Rav, that happened 3,500 years ago? It's a good question. Through Torah Shabbat Peh, Peh, mouth. A tradition that unites us with previous generations and enables us to experience events simultaneously with them. Recounting Yitziyat Mitzrayim, says the Rav, and now he's going to put the Shorashim together. Sofer, scribe. Sipur, story. Sefer, scroll or book. Recounting Yitziyat Mitzrayim, you're not merely telling a story. You're not still telling a story. There are many stories we could tell. Leil Sipur Yitziyat Mitzrayim is not only a story. It is so much more than a story. The imperative of, and you shall tell your son, v'higadeth al bincha, has a deeper meaning. Ready? The son becomes the sefer, upon which the father, the sofer, inscribes the sipur. At every Seder table around the world, the father, slash rabbi, slash grandfather, patriarch, teacher, is the sofer. The sipur is what he is inscribing. And the child stash student is the sefer. And you know how much I love Shor. Like, I actually have chills when I share this with you. I'm not joking. I don't usually say it in Shor, but sometimes I do. I just don't say it. But actually, it's so moving. It's so beautiful. It's so profound. The previous generation is the sofer. The story being told is the sipur. And the child, i.e. the new generation, is the sefer. And it is through the sofer who inscribes the sipur upon the sefer that Klal Yisrael transcends time, transcends generations, and lives forever. It's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. The imperative of, and you shall tell your son, the Higadot al bincha, uleman tisaper ba'oznei bincha, kol amar b'lisaper, reizim b'shubach manishtan, alay zami kol leilis, shabachol alayilos, einan am misaperim, einan am midaperim, shtika, no, that's not what I want to say. Call Marbad Dar, maybe Chait. Shiko Godal is true. Someone tells you Lashon Hara on your main side, now they think you agree. But on this night, you should speak and speak and speak some more. Remember those Tanaim in Bnei Brak? They were talking so much to Talmidim had to come and say, Rabbis, don't you know what time it is? Recanting Yitziyat Mitzrayim is not merely telling a story. The imperative, and you shall tell your children, has a deeper meaning. It means the son is the sefer upon which the father writes. The foremost task of the father, slash parent, slash grandparent, slash rabbi, slash teacher, is to be a sofer, to transform his son into the book, the sefer, upon which he writes indelibly. It's not erasable ink. A book that will survive the father and will be imparted to succeeding generations. The appellation, the people of the book, says the Rav, does not mean we are a people who reads books. It is a nation whose very existence is a book. Our national destiny is encoded in the Shorash Samech Pei Resh, which is the symbol for Leil HaSeder or Leil Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, because every teacher, every parent, every rabbi, every grandparent is a sofer. And every child slash Talmud the parent is the sofer, the child is the sefer, and what is being inscribed in indelible ink is the sipur. of the destiny and the survival, the triumph and the hope, the faith and the beauty of Kal Yisrael. And that's Leil Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. So while it's true that on all other nights of the year, measure your words very carefully, because the more we speak, I'm not telling you this, you can't say it doesn't apply to me. Chazal's words apply to every single one of us. You talk too much, you're going to come to sin. But on this night, we are a free man. And just like you own your time, you own your speech. And what kind of speech? The speech of Samech Perish. It's so beautiful. Don't be like the Mitzora. Don't sit on all sides of camp. Don't sit outside of all the camps all by yourself, because you couldn't control your mouth. And all of a sudden, you can't be involved in the glorious transmission of telling and retelling, of hearing and listening, of sharing and receiving. Don't use your mouth for poisonous words. Use your mouth for exalted words. A mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim means inscribing one's entire religious consciousness upon the next generation, until that generation grows up and they're ready to perform the same task of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim at their Seder table with their own children and their own students. Mamish unbelievable. Mamish unbelievable. I could really say, I don't know, it's funny, but I have extremely enjoyed every shiur we shared this week with many different insights into Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, Leil HaSeder, and Chag HaPesach. Because one Dvar Torah, one word of Torah, is more exalted and more beautiful than the next. I want to end by how we end Magid. That's what I'm looking for, Amei Chomesh. Not Amei Chomesh, Amei Haggadah. What do we say at the end of Magid? First of all, we say, Bechol dar vador, after Pesach Matzah Maror, Chayav Adam, Lirod et Atzmo, Kiluhu Yatza Mimitzrayim Shane'emar, V'higadeta Labin Chabayamahu Leymar. How do you show you're free? By speaking to your son. Bavurza Shal Shemli B'tzeisi Mimitzrayim. Laws of a Seinu B'vad Gala Kosh Baruch Hu, Ala Avosanu Gali Mahem. And then what do we say? I can't find what I'm looking for. So I'll just end with this. What's the final bracha of Magid? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hamasher Ga'alnu V'Ga'alas Avoseinu Mitzrayim V'Hagyanu Halayla Zeh L'Echol B'Matzah Marar Kein Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu Yageinu L'Ma'adim V'Dergal Mecherim Habayim L'Kraseinu L'Shalom Smechim bevinyan irecha, v'sasim ba'avadosecha, v'nochal sham min hazvachim min hapsachim, ashi yagia damam al kirmes b'chacha l'ratzon, v'noda lecha shir chadash, al geulaseinu, al pedus nafsheinu, baruch atah Hashem ga'al Yisrael. I thank both of our sponsors very much for the zchus of these divrei Torah that they are responsible for. Tizki Lumitzos and Amaisim Tovim, we thank Shoshana Pollock and wish you a Mazel Tov for your newest family member, Shana Fega, as well as Shmir for Klal Yisrael, freeing of hostages, and Shalom Ba'aretz, as well as our dear friend Susie Fonfeder. Both of you have sponsored previously, and we thank you very much. Who is sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas Yehuda Ben Moshe Labasham, who was a survivor and who went on to rebuild a Torah life and a Torah family, whose yurtzeit was to Nisan 30 years ago, Tehei Zichro Baruch, just to mix business with a lot of pleasure. We need sponsors for after Pesach, and after Pesach is coming up soon. Halavai should be Bushaim Habnuya. Please reach out if you haven't taken a turn, or if you have taken a turn, or if you would like this host, please reach out. Wish everybody Gevaldik Shabbos. In answer to your question, yes, there is shir next week, and yes, we do have a sponsor. Besoros Tovos, Kol Tov, and thank you so much to all.